This is a slightly different intro to a Licensed to Queer podcast. Firstly, you're listening to just me, Anthony Lowbridge-Ellis, and I'm currently here on my own, although there are two of the three cats with me as I'm recording this. It's slightly different, and hopefully I'll be bringing David into the podcast at a slightly later part of this episode. But when we did our Month in Bond podcast the other day, David and I had really good fun talking about James Bond comic books, talk about the Dynamite Entertainment comic book series. But before we get to that, I think some background's needed. As I mentioned in the last podcast, one of my great loves, other than James Bond, is comic books, and I've been hosting a comic book podcast, specifically X-Men related, for nearly 16 years, even longer than I've known David, to be honest. And I love comic books as an art form, and I know quite a lot about them. I've done a lot of comic book journalism, so it's something I'm really passionate about, and I love James Bond, so me and David thought together they will make a really interesting pairing. So we're going to be picking up and talking about comic books on a monthly basis, particularly using the Licensed to Queer review system. But I'll talk about that later when David's on the podcast. But for a bit of background, I wanted to talk about James Bond in the format of sequential art, comic books, and a comic strips, which was where James Bond originally started. And also, I think probably people don't recognise that the comic book version of James Bond predates the movie version of James Bond by quite a few years. It was 1957 when the idea for the newspaper strips was started in the Daily Express, and Fleming thought that comic books would dilute his writing and make them not as good, but he was sort of convinced by the artist, which was John McCluskey, who sketched what he thought James Bond would look like in the comic books, and they made him a bit more masculine and rugged. And the first comic book strip, which was based on Casino Royale, was published in 1958, so 4 years before the movie series started. And then it then followed with Diamonds Are Forever others, and essentially was running by John McCluskey with his writing partner until about 1966. And they went on for quite a lot of years, the newspaper strips did, starting in 1958 and running all the way until 1966, adapting each of the novels that Fleming had written by that point. In 1966, then, the newspaper strips continued, but a new artist, Yaroslav Horak, took over the series and adapted even more of the Fleming novels and short stories, but also Kingsley Amis's Colonel's Son. And those ran from 1966, including Man with a Golden Gun, The Living Daylights, Octopussy, The Hildebrand Rarity, The Spy Who Loved Me, and they started to do new stories, and this is where we start to see the James Bond comic book brilliance that happens today, in the fact that you get new Bond adventures in a serialised form on a very regular basis. And the newspaper strips continued, written by Jim Lawrence in this time, with the art by Yaroslav Horak, all the way through the 1960s into the late 1970s. And then they continued in the Express and the Daily Star from the 1970s, with them both teaming up on even more brand new storylines with such amazing titles such as The Xanadu Connection, Flittermouse, Death Mask, The Scent of Danger. And so on some of these, again, John McCluskey came back to do the art. And this version of the comic book strips, the newspaper strips rather, ran from January 1977 all the way up until 1984. Some of these have been reprinted now, but they still are quite hard to get hold of, unlike actual comic books. Comic books and comic strips are a little different. Comic strip, obviously, is that like three panels that appears in a newspaper and sort of convinces you to buy the newspaper every day. Comic books are a bit more, they're at a longer length, usually about 24 pages. Other graphic novels can be sort of longer still, and they sort of tell serialised adventures with that 24-page count ending on a cliffhanger so that you buy the next issue. It wasn't quite that long after the movie series started that James Bond started to get into these bigger format comic books. There was a Doctor No movie tie-in comic book which was published in the UK by Classics Illustrated and DC Comics of Superman and Batman fame in 1962. But the next sort of movie tie-in comic book wasn't until 1981, which was done by Marvel Comics, actually, written by Larry Hama, who's most notably known for an amazing run on Wolverine, with art by Howard Chaykin and Vince Coletta. And that was in 1981. So it was 19 years before the next sort of movie adaptation comic book in a longer format came out. And then they also did Octopussy movie tie-in in 1983, and that was written by Steve Moore with art by Paul Neri. And that was the end of Marvel's thing. It then jumped into 1989, again a big break, before it went into License to Kill, which was a tie-in of that one, written by Richard Ashford with art by Mike Garrell. And that was by published by a company called Eclipse Comics. And they also started to do original James Bond stories. 1989 to 1991, they did a series called Permission to Die, Serpent's Tooth, Secret Agents. And throughout the early 90s, they jumped around from different small press comic book publishers. In the mid-90s, they got a bit more sort of commercial with Dark Horse Comics, and again lots of brand new stories were published, and apart from a GoldenEye tie-in in 1996, that's pretty much where the Bond comics ended until 2015, 2016, when the Dynamite Entertainment, which is a really great comic book publisher that gets amazing branded licenses and does comic books about them. We're going to be talking about each of the Dynamite comics in order that they've come out and reviewing them on a regular format. But the reason why these comics are so good is because they are quite self-contained. They have really brilliant creative names attached to it. Big comic book superstars in terms of writing and artistry that you would recognise. People like Benjamin Percy, Kieran Gillen, who both write X-Men, Warren Ellis, Andy Diggle, Vita, Ayala, Greg Pak, really, really big names. And they are a really brilliant regular dose of amazing James Bond action, with all original stories, and they are more closer to the film series in some regards, with characters having a more modern look based on the characters that they appear in the Daniel Craig movies, but they are very intrinsically linked to the Ian Fleming and the novel version of Bond as well, particularly how he looks and how cold he can be at times. So yeah, we're just really excited to tell you more about these comic books in our new miniseries over on License to Queer. Before we sort of jump into David and I talking about how the review system will work, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that there was another sort of element of James Bond in the comic books. There was obviously James Bond Jr. Marvel did a series based on their animated TV series that ran in 1992 for a number of issues with different versions. But a big part of the James Bond comic book story is actually an international one. James Bond, obviously, is a brand that's known and loved throughout the world. And there was lots of international comic book series. There was a James Bond Jr. Secret Agent 005, a series of comics that were published in Hindi in India. And these have some really cool titles. Thief with a Difference, International Killer, The Traitors, not the TV series. And those are some of, that's the Indian version. There was a massive, massive, like long-running run, including some versions of the Fleming novels, but also international retellings of them, but also brand new stories in a Swedish comic book publishing company called Semic Press. And they run from 1967 all the way until 1981, doing the sort of brand new stories and versions of these other stories translated into Swedish. There was a Spanish version of James Bond comics published by a company called Zigzag. And even James Bond was turned into a manga series by artist Taiko Sato. And it was a 007 series that published in the Shogakukan's Boys Life magazine, and that ran from December 1964 to August 1967. So even that early in the cinematic version of James Bond that we all know and love was having a massive international impact, and in Japan, and obviously things like You Only Live Twice probably added to the allure of James Bond for international audiences, particularly Japanese viewers and readers. So I just thought it was really cool that there's all these international versions of James Bond comics as well. There's Hungarian and Dutch ones as well. And obviously there's been lots of satire. But James Bond also has a massive impact in other companies publishing spy fiction and spy comics. Obviously Marvel has a really massive character in Nick Fury, who's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. And most people will probably know the version that Samuel L. Jackson plays in the MCU. But before this, he was a character that ran in successful series and came across in lots of different Marvel comic book series from the 60s all the way to the present day. Obviously, I've already mentioned Larry Hama once, and Chris Claremont both had big runs on Wolverine. There's a sort of persona that Wolverine has called Patch in the Southeast Asian fictional country named as Madripoor. And in these stories, they're a bit more spy than superhero. And Wolverine takes on the persona of someone called Patch. He wears an eye patch across one of his eyes, but he wears a white dinner jacket. And obviously Chris Claremont, as a writer, is a bit of a big Anglophile, taking lots of interest in British culture, things like the Avengers. So it's not out the realms of possibility that he has some fondness for James Bond too. And on DC side as well, there's they have different spy agencies and spy stories. So James Bond has always had a place in comic books, and whether it's been through international adaptations of them, newspaper strips running from the 50s to the 80s, or these new monthly issues coming from Dynamite Entertainment. If you are looking for regular James Bond content, you would do yourself really well to start picking up the comic books. And this is what me and David are going to be talking about on this mini-series that's going to be running regularly on License to Queer, just to give you some inspiration, telling you what we like, what we didn't, and if there's any particular stories that we think might make a really good adaptation, whether that be for a TV series or a movie idea. But there are some really great creators writing great regular James Bond content, and we think you should give it a try.